Puget Sound is full of secrets, one of them the giant Pacific octopus, a large cephalopod with mysterious intelligence. Cy Montgomery made it a personal goal to get as close as she could to one of these animals. In fact, she spent so much time visiting one at the New England Aquarium that that place became almost her second home. The first giant Pacific octopus Montgomery met up close was named Athena.
So the keeper opened the tank, and this 40-pound animal turned bright red with excitement and slid over to meet me. Her eye rotated in its socket and fixed on my face. And then I said, "Can I touch her?" And they said, "Yeah, okay." So I plunged my hands and arms into the 47-degree water, while meanwhile her arms, bright red, are boiling up to meet mine, and her white suckers are attaching to the skin on my hands and forearms. And octopuses can taste with all of their skin, but particularly with their suckers. So this animal is not just touching me, but tasting me all over.
Cy, what is that feel like? Because as you write about it, I imagine, you know, how we taste with a tongue and there's something that moves. So what does it feel like to
have? Well, it is tongue-like. I mean, their muscles are kind of more like our tongues than the muscles in our arms. But the suction cups, they're capable of enormous strength. A single sucker can lift 30 pounds, and they have 1,600 of them on a giant Pacific. So it's a hug and a squeeze with a little slime mixed in. And I went home with hickeys, too. I had to explain that to my husband, but happily it was just a giant Pacific octopus.
No, this particular octopus, Athena, liked you. They don't like everybody.
Well, it's true. And I knew she liked me for two. There were two ways she showed me that she liked this. One was she let me pet her head, and they don't usually do that with a stranger. And second, she turned white beneath my touch. And white is the color of a relaxed octopus.
Wow. What drove you in the first place to want to meet Athena and to spend time with giant Pacific octopuses?
Oh, they're such cool animals. You'd have to go to outer space to find someone more unlike a human. You know, I mean, we're all made differently. We go head, body, limbs, and they go body, head, limbs. They have no bones. They have a beak like a parrot. They have venom like a snake. They have ink, which they can shoot like an old-fashioned pen. They can change color and shape. They can pour their body through a tiny opening. These are superpowers. And yet, they think like us in enough ways that it is possible to have a relationship with them. They do recognize individual people. We know that from experiments.
I'm talking to Cy Montgomery, and she's the author of a new book. It's called The Soul of an Octopus. Now, the giant Pacific octopus is really a creature at our doorstep as we speak to you in the Puget Sound region. But in thinking about this region in particular, the native tribes who populate the Pacific Northwest have legends that go back for centuries about the orca, about the salmon, about the eagles. Why have, you know, the eagles and the salmon and the orcas retain that sort of folkloric status where the octopus has not?
Well, maybe it's because we don't get to see octopuses that often.
True.
Because, you know, why don't you see them? Because they've turned invisible and they've poured themselves down a hole. I know lots of divers who've dived for decades and never seen an octopus. You know, they can look like anything they want.
One thing that has been useful about the plethora of stories about salmon and orcas and eagles here, foxes, wolves, is that they're of use when you want to teach children about those creatures. What would you use to teach kids, to teach them about the octopus? How could folklore help them think differently about these giant creatures?
Well, you know what? I would say let's look at natural history. We don't even have to go to folklore. Kids love octopuses. If you go to the aquarium, kids see the octopus and it's like, "Octopus!" And they run. They're thrilled by this creature. And why not? They are such a thrilling, exciting animal. They will change color with emotion. Mm. They will change color when they're trying to figure out a puzzle. The way that somebody would wrinkle their brow and maybe bite their lip and, you know, scratch their head. They'll change colors. but also their behavior with you. It's very clear when they like you or when they don't like you. And their personalities are so distinctive. Here at the Seattle Aquarium, there was one named Emily Dickinson because she was so shy. Another was named Leisure Suit Larry because his arms were all over you. And then there was Lucretia McEvil, and she just constantly dismantled her tank.
How did the time that you spent both with the giant Pacific octopus and the other octopuses that you write about in your book make you think differently about this world that we inhabit together?
Totally changed my way of thinking about thinking and thinking about what minds are. And it made the world seem so much richer.
How so? You want to explain a little bit?
Well, there's this great quote which is attributed to Thales of Miletus, and it goes, "The universe is alive and has fire in it and is full of gods." Well, that whole idea of a living, holy, exciting, dynamic universe is something that makes you love this planet so fiercely. And here you have this beautiful sea at your doorstep with these amazing minds in it. And that is so glorious for me to realize. And the octopuses showed me that.
Cy Montgomery wrote about her experiences with Athena and other octopus species in a new book. It's called The Soul of an Octopus.